You can say that one on the air, which we are on the air. Wow. I have another one, not necessarily better. Wow.
Trigger warning, this is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 Kelvin, keep a sinful out of status and out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Michael and Phil?
Yeah, I do.
I can, yes.
Excellent. Yes, as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
Right. So we are here. I am Jeremy. I am joined tonight by Michael and Phil. How the heck are you guys?
Yeah. I'm well.
Doing
I'm
well. Good.
Excellent.
Yeah. I'm doing well, but not as well as Iggy Pop, and he's as old as a grandpa.
Dude, that guy does yoga, I swear.
Definitely. He does stuff. What does he do? I heard what he does. I think he does sit-ups and heroin. No. So Iggy Pop. We're going to talk about Iggy Pop, because we all watched, two of us watched all of, and one of us watched most of, a really fantastic documentary that I can't recommend enough. What's it called? I forget.
Gimme Danger.
Yeah, and it's produced by Jim Jarmusch. Did you guys notice that? Jim Jarmusch?
I did notice that, but I don't recognize that name for some reason.
Oh, does Phil know who that is?
No idea.
Really? Wow. I don't even know if Jim Jarmusch has a best-known movie I could recommend. Let's see. Did you ever see Coffee and Cigarettes, that black and white movie that's just...
I saw some of it.
People smoking.
Yeah, I saw part of it.
Yeah, Iggy Pop's actually in that movie.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's see, he made Stranger Than Paradise, Down by Law, Mystery Train, Dead Man, Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai, Coffee and Cigarettes, Broken Flowers. I think Broken Flowers was his Hollywood breakthrough kind of thing. Only Lovers Left Alive, never heard of that. Patterson, seen most of the other ones. Really good, like, weird independent filmmaker that's been making weird independent films for quite some time. Let's see, since... Permanent Vacation was his first movie, 1980. Down by Law is great. Down by Law is stars Tom Waits. I mean, you got me already right there. But it's that's a movie I recommend for a lot of reasons. But one is it's an interesting filmmaking. It's interesting when you're studying the hero's journey, because most movies, it's kind of hard to tell exactly where the first act ends and the second begins and the second act ends and the third begins. But in that movie, they're all in different locations. The first act is in the French Quarter of New Orleans. The second act is in jail. And the third act is in the swamps of Louisiana. Like that, it's that cut and dry. And I think it actually like fades to black between them. So it's good for learning about three-act format and hero's journey. But it's a great movie. Great guy. And this movie is on, you can watch it free on Amazon Prime. You can probably watch it free other places. I watched it on my Amazon Prime through my Roku stick. Now I want to do a little free ad that they're not paying me for the Roku stick. Do you guys have one?
Yes, I do.
I do not. Nice.
Although I watched this one on my PlayStation 3, because that's what I have downstairs.
Ooh, but
I do have a Roku stick upstairs in my bedroom, and that's what I use to watch my Amazon and Plex and all that stuff. Wonderful little
Phil,
toy.
Where and how do you watch movies, Phil?
I watch movies on Netflix and Prime through my PS4 or my Wii.
So like you have your. So you don't have a computer in the room, like there's no specifically a computer hooked up to your flat screen using the PS3.
Well, yes, there is. My flat screen doubles as a computer monitor.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, my TV is
now that's fancy.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing that forever. Actually, in my room, there's two computers side by side, desktop computers, because you get more. You know, if you don't travel a lot, I recommend having desktops. And if you do travel a lot but are a power user, like editing a lot of audio and video and stuff, I'd recommend, in addition to having a laptop, having a desktop, because you get about twice the power and horsepower of a computer for the price for the desktop for the versus laptop. So we got two desktops in here. Like DJ has my hand-me-down one because she's not much of a power user, and now she's normally on her phone all the time. But and then we have an old TV monitor in here up on a bed. We actually put this in here when I was really sick for the past couple of years. You know, started getting better about 6 months ago, and I'm much better now, but not out of the woods, but much better. It was kind of like a hospital bed setup. Like my bed, my room's rectangular. There's my bed. My wife and I have separate beds because we have separate schedules completely. And she actually sleeps in the living room a lot now because the couch is really comfy. And, you know, just like sitting up in the couch. She sleeps better out there than in a bed. So she sleeps out there, but I have my own bedroom, but we hang out in my room a lot. So there's like a flat screen up on a, like kind of high up, like you'd have in a hospital room. But then to the right of that, there's my desktop computer, and she has her desktop computer. And for the longest time, we watched movies on my, you know, kind of big computer monitor. But then we found this, you know, big smart TV, you know, that's probably spying on us. This Samsung old smart TV that
Samsung, it's definitely spying on you.
Yeah. Yeah, so that one is spying on us. And so we watch movies on that. But sometimes, you know, Netflix and things like that, because of internet connectivity and stuff, like kind of buffer. But then we moved it. We got a Roku stick. We got a refurbished one. The stick worked, but the remote didn't. I ended up setting it up with you could get the app as a remote that's an app free for your phone. Mm-hmm. So we did that and I set it up and loved it and then sent the other one back and got free Saturday shipping. So got it in 2 days, the replacement. It's pretty awesome. And I just want to say, I can't believe that I was like, you know, two months ago, we had cable TV and we're paying like $180 a month for it.
Oh, that's right. It's still only been like that short of time since you finally gave it up. I keep forgetting.
Yeah, we gave it up and we just watched TV in my room for a while, but now we can watch it out there. And it actually looks better. And this is freaky. I don't get it, but it looks better and buffers less wirelessly on the Roku stick in the other room than it does on a computer that's wired.
Yeah, the Roku does not make
like
sense.
You know, like does some kind of, well, it's possible because, you know, maybe those systems all like detect a Roku and send a different stream that's encoded differently or something, I would guess.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how it works, but it's funny that you said that because I actually saw, I can't remember where it was, but I saw multiple people mention over the past couple of days that they also got a Roku, and it's like so much faster than the Kindle Fire Stick or any of those other ones. And
yeah,
so maybe there is something to it. I don't know. I've had mine for like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years now, and it was like the best $35 I ever spent because it's so convenient, and I can just take it with me wherever, plug it into different things. It's great.
So does that connect directly to the Wi-Fi, or does it...
Well, like no, mine does. You stick mine it does. In the back. Well, you stick it in the back of your TV. It's like a big USB drive.
Yep.
But it's not USB. It's what is that protocol? HDMI.
Yes,
HDMI. It sticks into an HDMI port on a on a flat screen, and then it also has like a USB port for power in the other end of it, which you can stick into an HDMI port in the TV itself, but I'm sticking into the wall because it actually, I've heard that it works better when you plug it into the wall because it has, you know, always the right power, whereas USB doesn't always. Because, right. Okay. I mean, USB has consistent power, but it varies from device to device. So, and right. It just works wirelessly. I'm actually getting we still get a little bit of dropouts and stuff because it's Wyoming. So I got one of those, like, I've ordered one of those range extenders for the Wi-Fi. You know, so the feds spying on me down the street in the truck can hear it better, I guess. But so
that's considerate of you, Michael.
Yeah.
That makes more sense though if it connects directly to Wi-Fi because it's got a dedicated stream. You know, that's probably the same reason why video game consoles, which are basically just computers, perform better than computers do with games, despite having similar specs. Because it's dedicated just for them.
Yeah, they're not doing other things, you know. They're not checking email in the background and things like that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
actually, that's why I also always recommend, if people can, for Fiend Phone, to use a dedicated computer for it. Because Fiend Phone is basically, that's the free, for people who don't know, who are just joining us, Fiend Phone at fiendphone.com, Foxtrot Echo, Echo November, phone.com, is a free software app that we made that's for radio hosts and podcasters who are in different locations that sounds a lot better than Skype. But it's a little harder to hook up. And you have to wear headphones when you're using it, because it has no noise cancellation by design, which is part of why Skype, you can use it anywhere, but it also, you know, you can use it in any audio environment. Like you can use Skype in a machine shop, you know, and people will sort of be able to understand what you're saying. Whereas on a phone, they can't, and on Fiend Phone, they can't. But, I, you know, a lot of times people use it and they get dropouts and stuff, and we get dropouts here and there and things like that, but occasionally, but overall just sounds, I'd rather listen to a show that sounds better overall and has a tiny dropout here and there than listen to a show that just doesn't sound good overall, but doesn't have any dropouts. But one way to reduce dropouts on Fiend Phone is to make sure that you use it on a dedicated computer. And it doesn't even have to be a great computer. The computer we're all connecting to at GCN is a computer I bought for $100 on Amazon. It's a Windows 7 computer that runs, that has 4 gigs of RAM, and it used to be in a bank somewhere on someone's desk. And I bought it used on Amazon, and it kicks butt, man. And, you know, you don't need, using that $100 computer with a $35 sound card, you know, replaces all of us having to have a $1,500 Comrex unit, which is how remote radio used to be usually done and still is in a lot of cases. And I want to put Comrex out of business. We probably can't, but we can probably help. But one reason I want to put them out of business is because their advertisements, they often brag about the fact that, like, the White House owns 85 Comrexes or something. You know, like, that's a selling point to them.
Well, good for them.
Ew.
Yeah, you don't need that stuff. I mean, I've been one of the people who's proven that you can do it with an even crappier computer than the one that we have at GCN, because I have a $75 Windows 7 laptop with only 2 gigs of RAM, and I successfully run Fiend Phone on a regular basis.
We should have
basis.
A contest. Actually, in fact, the winner of the contest. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I don't only do this show with this, but I do my own podcast and record it with the junky little laptop with 2 gigs of RAM.
Yep. If you really want to have the winner of the contest, though, it's Scottish Dan, who used to be a co-host.
Oh, he did have a worse one.
he had a 1 gigabyte Windows 10 computer that he got free from the phone company when he signed up for a phone plan.
Wow. Kind of like the toasters from the bank back in the day.
It probably is worth as much as the toaster. You know?
Nice. Just for this, I'm going to try to put it on my netbook and see how that works.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hi there. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Purse.io is a great website where you can spend Bitcoin on Amazon or trade Amazon gift cards for Bitcoin. I use Purse myself and I love it. You can also get discounts on Amazon. You can get 5% right this minute, or if you place your order and wait a day or so, you can name your discount and get 10%, 20%, even up to 33% off. You can try Purse right now and get 0.01 Bitcoin free after you complete your first order over $50. And if you go through the Freedom Fiends link, Purse will also send 0.01 Bitcoin to the Freedom Fiends. Help yourself to some agorism and help Liberty Media while you're at it. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Purse link at the top right, even if you've used Purse before. Or enter the referral code FIENDS when you sign up at purse.io. That's FIENDS. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra. Do it.
By the time it closed, so
wow,
yeah,
I played there. I'd shot up in the bathroom there back when I did drugs.
Oh, lucky.
Yeah, that's punk. No, what's really punk, I've said this before, is that me and Tony, the drummer, shot up in the van one time, and then went into play, and he threw up from the heroin while we were playing in the first song, like 20 seconds in, and he threw up and playing a really complicated, repetitive, like jungly kind of beat without missing a beat. Like he just was playing this incredible, like almost like a double bass beat with a single bass using the tom-tom as the other bass. And he just like leaned over, vomited, and kept playing. That's punk, man, at CBGB's. That's how you win respect at CBGB's.
I think that definitely qualifies as punk, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I've even seen video of CBGB's, of who's that other guy we liked that threatened to kill himself but then pushed out? His name is escaping me right now. You went to his grave. G.G. Allin.
Oh, G.G.
I've seen footage of G.G. Allin vomiting on stage at CBGB's, and he, well, doing something else too, but he didn't keep singing. He stopped.
I was going to say, yeah, he usually paused when he was working. Yeah.
So
When he was working in between the verses.
Yeah.
These pipes are being used right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Oh, yeah. Gigi. I didn't actually think about that. Yeah. It's different than playing an instrument. And yeah, okay. I forgot. Yeah. If you sang while vomiting, you'd probably die.
Yeah, there's a good chance of that, yes.
Yeah, there'd be a good chance of it. So,
yes.
Did that sound distorted? Did to me. Did it?
No, it didn't sound distorted.
I disconnected my compressor because the Fiends were just sounding so compressed, especially me, because GCN compresses us too, because that's how talk radio is. It's what they do. I think we could lay off on the compression a little bit. Let's try that. Just a tad less. Let's see what happens. Come on, Jason. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and do it. Whisper in my ear if you did it.
Release. All right. Release.
So, although there's various things you could turn down on compression, so I don't know. There's
no compression. We are compression free.
Was there compression before?
Isn't there always compression? I thought that's
what
it worked.
Jason?
He said just a touch.
Just a touch.
I can't hear him. He turned down after my tirade. hurting my ears.
See what happens when you want people to listen to you.
I literally could not hear him. All right. So
from now on, Jason, just listen to me when I say things. All right, yeah, we're fine. Just ignore Michael.
All right. This is radio on the radio. So it's a screeching hospital.
Screeching hospital.
That's the show title. That is.
We are a screeching hospital.
We are an audio screeching hospital. Okay. All right, so Iggy Pop.
I sense a new button soon.
We're talking about Iggy Pop. So I don't have any connection to Iggy Pop. I usually have a connection to rock stars we're talking about. The only connection I have to Iggy Pop is I sent him a letter and he wrote back, which I think is incredibly cool. His album, and he sent back a 3-page handwritten letter and like answered every one of my questions. His album, American Caesar, which was, we talked earlier about, like, you were one of you before the show was like, didn't Iggy Pop like disappear?
Yeah,
you
know,
and have a comeback. And I was like, well, no, he's always been, but he started making bad music and then came back and made good music. So it kind of looked like a comeback. And the coming back to good music was the American Caesar album, which is a pretty amazing album. I listened to it like every day for a year when it came out, I think. And on the CD, written on the CD itself, so back when they had CDs, it said, you know, I'm feeling out of touch with people. If you write to me, I'll try to write you back. And there was a New York City P.O. box. And I wrote him, and I was, when I found that record, I was, I don't know what year that came out. Let's see. Caesar. How do you spell American? Caesar. A.M. 93. So it came out in 93. And I got a hold of it in 94 when I got sober off junk. And I wrote to Iggy Pop and talked to him about getting off drugs. And he wrote back and said, you know, that he'd gotten off drugs years earlier. He still smokes a joint once in a while, but he never does hard drugs anymore. And he said it was an important thing to do. And he said, what you're doing, Michael, it's got to be done. And that like helped me stay clean. I'm getting like weepy thinking about it. But
that's cool, though.
Also, part of his like so-called comeback was that in 1996, his song Lust for Life was used in Trainspotting and then in like 4 commercials all in the same year. So all of a sudden, people knew that song. That might be what you're thinking of as a comeback. Is it?
It might be. Yeah, it might be.
Yeah. Worms, meow.
Worms, yeah, worms.
Kitties playing with worms. You ever seen that? It's funny.
Yes, I have.
All right, people, send me video.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
So I've been feeling kind of disconnected from my audience. So send me videos of your cat playing with a worm. A common earthworm.
Yes. By the way, if you don't have a video already of that, go out and get one right now.
We have a video of someone's little Biptot kids, not yours, playing with worms. Lou sent it to me and said, worms.
Nice. I saw two of the largest earthworms I've ever seen the other day up here in the Pacific Northwest. Apparently that's the sign that spring is coming, that there are giant earthworms on the sidewalk.
It's the kratom in the water supply making the worms big and gay. I just broke my contract with GCN, but
I was just kidding.
I don't think anyone noticed it. All right. So, but it was said with love. So there. Yes. Did you know? Oh, I do want to say before, because I have a new rule, a new fiends, what's it called when the president writes something down? Yeah, a new edict.
Or executive
order.
Executive order on the fiends that every hour has to have some liberty. And I don't see any other than the liberty of Iggy Pop this hour. So I'm going to say communism is horrible. Socialism is horrible. All governments are immoral. And taxation is theft.
And sharing is not communism.
What's that?
And sharing is not communism, and communism is not sharing.
Right. I like that. Did you make that up?
Well, I guess, kind of.
It's really good. That should be.
I was like, I don't know. Should I claim credit for that? I'm not sure.
You should. Yeah, it should be like the saying in the first day of homeschool.
True.
Say it with me now, kids.
Write that down, Jeremy, for the show notes. I want that in writing. Sharing is not communism, and communism is not sharing. Please.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. So, Iggy Pop. Even though I hate communism, he's my favorite communist, which is kind of a joke because in this movie, he talks about how his band was communist, the Stooges, in that they all shared everything and lived together. But I really picture communism communism not being voluntary and involving guns and force.
Well, that's how it's usually done, yes.
Always done. I don't mind with a commune existing, but communes always want to make everyone else be a commune because they think it's so correct.
Well, not necessarily. Some yes, but I've come across a number of them that really just want to be left alone. But the argument that is usually made against them, which I think is a valid one, is that type of thing can only exist if they agree to the idea of property rights as other people agree to it. So they have a giant area that's theirs to begin with. That only works if they believe in property rights to some respect, which communism rejects property rights. So that's where it kind of gets a little fuzzy. But yeah, state communism is usually what that's what the world knows as communism, because that's all that ever really comes to the forefront is this horrible, horrible stuff with guns and violence and starvation and breadlines and all this wonderful.
Phil? Yeah. And as far as the small commune thing is, you don't have to believe in property rights to respect property rights. So, I mean, under a capitalist society, you can have a commune and you can swear up and down that property rights are illegitimate or don't exist. But as long as you don't commit violence to support those acts, I mean, you can respect it without believing in it.
Yeah, but I like what Jeremy said, which is basically boils down to have a commune, you must practice, if not believe in, property rights.
Yeah, at least the overarching idea. I mean, I get what you're saying,
you
know, Phil.
Unless you want to squat in the park and call that a commune, but it's not a commune that's going to attract a lot of people.
Yeah. Right.
You need plumbing. You need indoor plumbing, I think, for a working commune. Although, Some have outhouses. I went to a commune in New Hampshire when I was a kid, when there were a bunch of hippies there. And they were bathing naked. And I was like 10. And I took a picture. I hid in the grass and took a picture of the naked hippies bathing. And they caught me and got really mad. And the next year I went back there and ended up trying the marijuanas for the first time. So the first time I got stoned, back when I got stoned, was in New Hampshire. So there.
Wow.
Yeah. So Iggy Pop.
With naked hippies.
No, I didn't get naked.
From naked hippies to Iggy Pop.
Yeah,
so it's usually mostly naked on stage.
We're talking about half naked.
Kind of a hippie.
Half naked.
I really liked, so this documentary is different, a different form than most documentaries. Most documentaries are a series of talking heads praising the subject of the documentary, and then like archival like yours. Clips. Like mine, and that's the cheapest kind to make, and you can still tell a good story with that. And you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. All documentaries are propaganda. They all are presented as a search for truth, and you know, this doesn't really like play that much into a hagiography like this, which is made, you know, with Iggy Pop sitting down being interviewed for the whole thing. But you know, like Michael Moore and things like that, like all documentaries where they pretend to be doing science and trying to find things out, they're all edited and scripted and voiced and filmed in a way that's going to come to the conclusion the filmmaker wants before he films anything.
They all tell the story the filmmaker wants wants to be told.
Yeah, and I learned a lot about Iggy Pop I didn't know, and I've been a fan of his for probably 30 years, and he's been making music for close to 50. He started in 67. I was born in 64, so he was 3 when he started playing music. Are you guys 3 fans of him?
I think I'm more of one now. I never really got into the Stooges or anything, but that's what we were talking about before the show, that I remembered Iggy Pop like disappearing and then coming back. But as you explained, it's more just he was doing really crappy music for a while. But like, I like some of his stuff. Like, I remember the American Caesar album. Was that the one you called? You're talking about? I remember when that one came out in 93. So like, I remember I listened to some of his stuff, but I think I have more appreciation now. This is the same thing that happened last time. What was the last documentary you had me watch that I
did? Oh, about the germs.
Yeah, that I had no idea about before. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
I'm giving you your early punk rock history. So, you know, when you talk to punk rockers that are half your age, if that exists anymore, you know, you can sound not too square by knowing things about the germs and Iggy Pop and the Stooges.
Yes.
So, what about you, Phil?
Well, I was never really a huge fan. I had sort of a passing interest here and there over some of his songs, usually stuff like, you know, what I heard on Trainspotting or whatnot. And then when I saw Velvet Goldmine, I became a little bit more interested, mainly through the Bowie stuff. But as far as a big fan, I've never really followed him.
Okay. So it's an interesting documentary in that it's not that usual kind of talking heads thing. It's the subject, Iggy Pop, sitting down in a chair, two different sessions. It's two different rooms and he's dressed different, you know, so it looks like it was two sittings, like telling his life story from little kid. And it's interesting stuff. And then they kind of fill it in with some archival footage and some amazing archival footage, like of the Stooges, like shows that I didn't know were filmed. And then it doesn't have any, the thing that I liked about this that's different from most documentaries, the Gimme Danger is a cool documentary in that it does not have, it only has like two interviewees who aren't even the subject, and they were there, and they're kind of the subject too, because the subject is Iggy and the Stooges, and all the interviews were with, you know, archival stuff of dead Stooges, because there's 4 of them have died of the 12 people that have been in that band, and interviews with, you know, Iggy and with living Stooges, and then little bit with the old manager of the Stooges, and then a little who was also the manager of the Ramones and everybody else. And there's a whole documentary about that guy too. That guy's worthy of his own documentary. But and then the sister of 2 of the members of the band who were brothers. Oh, I got a question. What drug do you think Ron Ashton was on during that movie, during his interview in that movie?
I don't know.
Really? Phil, what do you think?
I've
heroin.
Would assume heroin.
You didn't notice that that guy could barely keep his eyes open?
He was totally
smacked out, man.
I didn't know anything about the guy. I wasn't sure if he had had like a stroke, and I was like going to be making fun of a guy. I was making fun of a stroke victim or something because it was so severe.
Put it this way, if you're anyone out there who's listening who was in a famous rock band who now lives with their parents at age 50, if they ever come to interview you for a show, you know, do a little heroin to take the edge off, but don't get so high you can barely speak. There's actually a scene in that movie where he's talking to Iggy Pop. They're being interviewed together. I think that they tried to interview them together and realized that guy was so high they couldn't use any of it. And they like shuffled him off and told him to go lie down and then just interviewed Iggy. Because there's a scene in there, a really quick scene, where Iggy and Ron Ashton are in a room talking together, sitting on a couch. And Ron's like talking about something and something and something and something and something. And remember when you used to blah, blah, blah. And then Iggy goes, oh, yeah. Like he suddenly realizes what the guy's talking about because it's so incoherent from the heroin. Yeah. That guy's junkie. Yeah. Stone Cold Junkie.
Okay,
I do have a tiny connection to this movie. Two of the Stooges are in my movie DIY or Die: How to Survive as an Independent Artist, because Mike Watt from the Minutemen filled in on bass when they had their reunion, which, by the way, I think was the only reunion of a band that was ever worth having. I think all reunions are BS, and you know, because the people aren't doing anything anymore, and because for money.
Really?
Iggy Pop didn't need to do it. Yes. Did you say really? Oh, you're being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like all these punk bands that were active when I was in a band are like reuniting and having these like 20 band shows now that last 2 days. You know, Agent Orange, and like none of them have many original members. They're all dead. And the reason it was a great they got back together, but it was a great reunion, was Iggy didn't have to do it. So that made it great to me. You know, there wasn't the desperation, and there wasn't the, even though they did just play old songs, I don't think they wrote any new songs, but yeah, they played Coachella. And I like the fact that Iggy said they came and offered him to reunite and play Coachella. And he said, I need three times as much because my band, we were communists, and I need to pay them as much as they pay me, you know, as you pay me.
Yeah. And basically saying that he thought they were going to blow him off after that. And they came back and he was like, they were like, we'll do it. And he was like, okay, I guess we're going to Coachella.
And, you know, I don't think he's really communist. I think what he means is egalitarian. I mean, because they said that he was approached by his, you know, older brother band who actually, so the Iggy Pop, like the band basically invented punk rock, I would say, but really the MC5, who started 3 years early, invented punk rock. And, but you know, name more than one MC5 song. No one can, but you know, everyone can name lots of Iggy Pop songs. And most people can, you know, the MC5, no one remembers anything but meow, kick out the meow.
Worms.
Mother Meowers.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
But of course, you know, it comes with a speech impediment.
That's all right.
That is the best thing. What is the name of the show that we... We are a screeching hospital.
We are an audio screeching hospital.
I'd leave audio out of it.
Just the screeching hospital. Freedom Fiends. There you go.
Freedom Fiends, screeching hospital, something like that. There all right, go. So
it's with the Iggy Pop too.
Talking about Iggy Pop. So what do you say about Phil about why Iggy shared the money?
Well, so equally? We were talking about how he called himself and his band communists because they shared the money equally from the gigs, and you said it was more egalitarian, and I sort of take the had the take that it was really more just mutual respect for the inputs of the band and considering them all equal parts rather than taking the limelight and considering him more important because he draws the paycheck.
Yeah, and he said that they also, when they started, like on their first record, I think on all the Stooges records, maybe on the first record only, but they didn't know that like publishing rights existed, so they credited every song to all four of them.
Yeah, he said we had no idea. Right. We had no idea about intellectual property, so we just we credited everybody.
However, I will say that I don't think Iggy's really a communist. First of all, because he told that story about how when the MC5 wanted them to come with the Stooges to come play with them at some street rally at the Democratic convention
DNC,
in 19 was it 68 or 68?
It was 68 in Chicago when they had the 68 riots in Chicago.
Yeah. Which
and he was like,
I didn't know. And you know, the guy from the MC5 was like, you're either with us or against us. How do you answer? You know, and Iggy was like, he didn't want to say no, he wanted to say yes. He didn't want to say yes, he didn't want to do it. Then he didn't want to like tell his hero no, so he just started doing cartwheels around the room or you know,
somersaults. He started doing somersaults around the room until the guy got so fed up that he walked out.
Yeah, which is a good way to deal with commies, I think. Well, I think when they start talking to you, just do somersaults.
Well, that's kind of like, you know, it's a similar idea of like, you know, how a smaller person can defend themselves against a bigger attacker, you know, just start acting crazy. And then the person will go away because they don't want to deal with you anymore because they think I've gotten out of a fight. I think I might have told that story at one point on the air.
Yeah.
When I was much younger, I got out of a fight when I was 15 because I was surrounded by like 30 guys. But I just basically started acting nuts. Like when the guy hit me, I started remarking that he got blood on my leather jacket and how upset I was that he got blood on my leather jacket. Like, I thought I was insane. So he ran away. With all of his friends, because we don't want to mess with the crazy guy.
Yeah, which is, you know, pretty much the only way to deal with a crowd that's about to attack you, other than shooting the biggest one.
Well, exactly.
That sometimes works. Which, if you're ever surrounded by, I've heard that, if you're ever, you know, surrounded by a group of people, you don't have a, you know, machine gun, and you got a pistol, and there's, like, more people than you have bullets, or that you can hit accurately, or if you think they're going to all charge you, hit the one who seems to be the leader, and the rest will run away. You know, if you hit one of the other ones, the leader might, he might be macho enough to sit there and try to fight you while you're shooting people. The other reason I'd say that I think Iggy Pop is not a communist is because of... You guys are going to love this. My favorite quote by Iggy Pop. Like I said, I've been fan with this guy for a long time. Like, read everything I could find about him, even before the internet. And I read his book, which I highly recommend. It's because his biography, like, it's kind of like this movie. Like, someone interviewed him and then wrote the book. You know, it's like an authorized, I would say an authorized autobiography. But it's called I Need More. And I Need More kind of sums up Iggy Pop. But the reason, which kind of sounds commie, but it's not, because he earned everything he ever had. The reason I think he's not communist is my real favorite quote from him, which is in that book, is, I love firing people. And Jeremy, that you can attest to the fact that I love firing people.
This is very true.
Although it hurts me. It hurts me here and here. I was talking during the break about
how
people's words can actually hurt me, because I have this tube in my, I have tinnitus from playing in rock bands, but also I have a tube in my ear to where like loud noises in one ear really hurt. And the board op came on really loud and I said, he hurt me with his words. And you called me a snowflake.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about Antifa and snowflakes getting punched and how funny it is in the second hour.
See, at least you have the cool, like, it's not great that you have tinnitus, obviously, because that is, it's painful to deal with and agitating. But, like, at least you have it because you were playing in rock bands. I just have it from listening to rock bands.
I actually probably have it from listening to rock bands, too, because it's really not that loud on stage. You know, it's louder in front of the speakers. I went to a lot of shows.
That's where I yeah, that's where
a lot of the opening bands too. You
know? That's what I was gonna say. That's where I spent most of my time at most.
I hate
a lot of
crowds
shows I
too.
To.
I hate.
I
crowds.
Do too.
It's not that. It's not that crowded on stage.
Ah, there you go.
No, it's not.
It's a good Cash Newman quote. I hate crowds, but it's not crowded on stage.
Worms.
Worms. Cash Newman is my inner Iggy.
I thought he was your outer Iggy.
Boy, that.
Did you say that on radio?
Yeah. My outer. Put that in the.
Hi, have you heard about Bitcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bipcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bipcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bipcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bipcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to Bipcoin.org. That's Bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, Coin.org.
Sound as good as you did to me before. So.
A screeching hospital. Broadcasting from Hot Bay 2A, mile above sea level, at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenated radio waves. This brings a sin flood of statism. This brings a sin flood of statism. I thought I could do it from memory.
Keeps it out of your head. You don't want to bring it into your head. That'd be bad.
Yeah, I made that same mistake. We're covered with a BIPCOT no government license. I have a BIPCOT jingle. Steve Miller made a BIPCOT jingle. Let me play this one.
Ooh, new jingle.
Waking my wife up. Hang on.
It's exciting.
If you want to keep the government agents away, get a BIPCOT license today.
Yeah. If you want to keep the government out of your way, get a BIPCOT license today. Although, I thought I got way quieter. Yeah, that's why I asked this stuff. How's this? Is this better? Is this good? Hey, Jeremy, can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you now, yeah.
I'm not too loud. I'm good. I blame the cats, actually.
You let them walking all over your board again.
They're walking all over me. Yeah, so I made that same mistake during the break. We were talking about the communist assertion, the bad communist assertion that property is theft. And I was confusing it with the term taxation is theft, which is a good term. And I know the difference. I just, Bob, stop it. There's cats. Cats, stop it. Go play with some worms. Bob, no. Get off me, kitty. Just dropped him on the floor. Didn't drop him far.
Oh, poor Bob.
Feet. He's fine. He landed on his feet.
Well, that's what they do. That's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. So we're talking about Iggy Pop in the first thing. Oh, let's
first,
do a quick
first thing, the first hour.
That's the first thing. Yeah. Let's talk about, let's do a little Liberty thing because we have to do that every hour. It's required by law on this anarcho-capitalist show.
All right. Trump's a liar, a socialist, and his hairpiece stinks like burnt steak. So there you go.
Give me in 25 words or less, Phil, why government is bad and does more harm than good and how people could live without it.
In 25, okay. War. That's war? Less than 25 words, right?
Explain. Don't worry about the word count, but keep it short. Explain.
Well, everybody's dying. I mean, war would be impossible if there wasn't government. Because it's funded by theft.
Well,
and it can only
there
be
was,
funded by
there
theft.
There was war before there was state.
Battles.
But it didn't
battles.
Kill many people.
Battles yeah, and skirmishes. But
not okay. The type of, I mean, not war as it is today.
Yeah.
Modern
not
warfare.
War where you fly a robot over, you know, bomb a bunch of people and then leave and it's all done like from video game from Nevada. right. or even and just mess. Sending armies, you know, for years into people. So here's the bottom line. If people think that there should be war and you're a fiscal conservative, you're a big fat liar, because war takes all your money.
Listen, right, Michael, you just need to ask yourself, who would Jesus drone?
Yeah.
You know, that's all you need on to
Easter.
Ask.
Oh, speaking of Easter, I actually said to my wife today, I have to check my Easter stats. And she's like, that's funny. If people didn't know what that meant, overheard that. So I need to check my Jesus stats, which was going to be the name of the show until we decided to call it Screeching Hospital.
Wait, I'm confused. What are your Easter stats? I don't know what that is.
Oh, I made a meme about Jesus on Easter. It said, what did it say? I'll find it and I'll check the current stats. It got more shares than anything I've ever gotten. I checked before the show and it had 785 shares.
Oh, very nice.
Which is pretty good. And, I like doing things like that. I like getting attention. Remember how that happened? You were on the show. Somebody cussed. I got mad.
Yes, I do remember. Like,
you've harmed me here and here. and instead of, you know, giving me money for amends, he gave me a platform to get more attention, which means a lot more to me than money. It's the weight of my heart. 760 shares. It's a picture, a classic painting of Jesus carrying the cross all whipped on his back with two Roman soldiers right behind him, nudge, you know, like making him carry the cross. And it says, Jesus was killed by police. Oh, it says, trust government. Jesus was killed by police and soldiers who were just following orders after the government gave him a legal trial. And I posted it the day before Easter, and it got lots of shares between them and Easter. And whether or not Jesus existed, I'm not going to go into. I'm a spiritual being, but not necessarily Christian. But I don't hate Christians the way some libertarians do.
I don't either.
I support their right to exist. <Let's> say that.
you can live amongst us. That's okay.
What America said about Israel, or was that what Israel? That's what Israel said about Palestine, wasn't it?
Right? Yeah. Wink, wink. Nod, nod.
Yeah. What the people who came over and stole a bunch of land from on the Holy Land said to the former tenants of the Holy Land. So it says, you know, so Jesus was killed by police and soldiers who were just following orders after the government gave him a legal trial. Jesus was killed by police and soldiers. They actually, Roman, they were the same thing. They were the police. They were also the soldiers who were just following orders after the government gave him a legal trial. And some people had some issues with that. Like, it's not entirely accurate. I've asked Phil. I'm not going to ask Phil about the Bible. Jeremy, do you know why this isn't accurate entirely?
Honestly, I don't remember the full story anymore. So, no, I would have just assumed it was close enough. He didn't get a trial, did he?
I knew it was close enough.
He didn't actually get a trial, did he?
In a way, he got what was a trial in the day. The Roman senator, Pontius Pilate, asked him a bunch of questions. The thing that's inaccurate about this, in a way, is that, and I had to actually go check the story, because, you know, I mean, I went to church four times a year for 4 years at the church farm school where they shipped me off to as a kid. But I had to go check it again, and the easiest way to check it, I thought, was to look at a children's Bible site, because it would be in simple words and I could read it quick. And it was basically, the Jewish priests, and they were called priests, like basically the church of the day, the dominant religion of the day, which was almost like a state of its own, wanted Jesus dead because he was getting followers and he was questioning Judaism. And a lot of people don't know this, but the 12 disciples of Jesus were Jews by birth, but they also considered themselves Jews. They considered what they had to be a new form of Judaism, not a separate religion. But I think you're kind of into the words. I think that's splitting hairs, because I think it's kind of a separate religion when you get to the point of saying, you know, this is the new covenant that replaces the old. You know, it's not just tweaking it a little bit like Protestant to Catholic. It's like
kind of like
a completely different thing.
Kind of like, you know, it's supposed to be tweaking the Articles of Confederation and then rewriting an entire new constitution. Yeah, something like that.
Although, yeah.
Not the same thing at all anymore.
Are you being pro Articles of Confederation there? I can't tell.
Yes. Yeah, in that instance, yes, I would.
You and Bill Buport. I don't disagree. I just haven't studied them enough to know.
Oh, well, they were far superior to the Constitution as far as liberty goes.
I know. And when you really say that they were better, people think you're a racist because they think it means you're a Confederate when you say the Articles of Confederation. So let's see, really quick, the story is the priests wanted Jesus dead because he was a troublemaker. So basically, the status quo was being upset by a newcomer, and the status quo wanted to quash it, you know, because they had a big racket going where people brought him money. Remember, Jesus went in the temple and kicked over the money changer table.
And whipped them, allegedly.
And whipped them. I know. Jesus whipped people. That's pretty amazing. The beatific, you know, the idea of him as a beatific hippie. So the priests wanted him gone, so they spread rumors that were untrue about him, that were horrible, that he was doing things he wasn't. And it got the people, basically a mob, went to the state, which was Pontius, the senator, and said, you know, kill him. And there was a person to be executed that day, and it was Barabbas. And they said, you know, release Barabbas and put Jesus in his place, because that's how the state worked then. You know, you can take
somebody's got to die today. It may not be you.
Die today. It's the government. It's the government. Yeah, it doesn't matter who. You know, you gotta. Basically, it's like today. I mean, it's like that too. In a way, it's still human sacrifice, and so is war.
Well, I've said that. Other people have, but I said that about the military all the time. Statism in general. It's the only modern religion that still requires a blood sacrifice.
The only modern wide religion. I think there might still be some little spots of tribes somewhere.
Yeah, but I don't consider those modern religions.
There's a former libertarian person who ran for office in Florida who still has a blood sacrifice religion.
Oh. Yeah, but Invictus. People don't like him, and he's not. He doesn't have any power. He doesn't have any guns behind him, except maybe his own.
Right. Well, he wanted them. And religion. The Libertarian Party was, at least down there, was supporting him, unfortunately.
For a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's his name? Invictus, which is actually was a Roman senator, wasn't it?
Yeah, Augustus Invictus.
Well, he changed his name legally to Augustus Sol Invictus, but that wasn't his original name.
Yeah, I'm looking at this picture of the MC5. We were talking about him before. This picture of them, like, you know, recently playing some club, and it's like the wall behind them is covered with what looks like padded benches like you'd have in a church. My guess is like this punk rock club somewhere like got complaints for the neighbors, and they said, okay, we're taking the seat covers off the chair and nailing them on the wall. You guys can stand. All right, so let's see. Jesus went to the state, you know, Pontius sent Roman soldiers, which were the police/military, to bring Jesus. So they forcefully brought him. I don't think he resisted, but they brought him to him. And they had what amounts to a trial of the day, which is the senator asking questions, because the people wanted Jesus killed, and he was trying to determine if there was something to kill him for. And actually, the state was like, no, let him go. And the people got the soldiers to take Jesus and crucify him. So the government literally washed their hands of this, because the term "I wash my hands from this" is Pontius went and washed his hands in front of the people saying, "I wash my hands of this," like, not my circus, not my monkeys, but didn't do anything to stop the soldiers from taking Jesus away and crucifying him and killing him. So I would say that the state was still responsible because
it was democracy.
The people voted to kill him. Yeah, it was direct democracy.
Mm. Yeah, it's the same thing they say.
A bunch of people said, "Cops, kill that guy. We don't like him." Yeah, yeah.
What was it? So I always forget. Was
killed by the government. There's no way around it. I really wish that's gonna be my next year's Easter. I'll put it now. That line I first heard. It's in Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. Meow. Mama Liberty says it.
Meow.
And she's Christian.
Arms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media is not easy, but it is effective. Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media doesn't even pay very much at all. Sometimes we even have to pay out of our own pockets. But we do it because we have to. For you. And for the children. Here at the Freedom Fiends, we've been producing amazing and effective Liberty Media every day since 2011. radio shows, podcasts, movies, music, cryptocurrencies, and yes, even memes. The Freedom Fiends also run the world's only Liberty Media Teaching Hospital and the world's only Voluntarist Media University. Our hands-on classes educate and shape hundreds of the great Liberty speakers of today and tomorrow, and they, in turn, will teach and inspire others. Heck, even the ones who got fired or quit in a huff still hold useful skills and equipment to hone their own Liberty Media and teach others. Freedom Fiends Media and our students' media is a rising groundswell to help create happy Liberty lives around the world and maybe even on to Alpha Centauri. Kitty cats and puppies like living in Liberty homes more than in statist homes. So please donate to the Freedom Fiends, if only for the kitties. Hashtag please donate Freedom Fiends, think of the kitties.
You know, when we sing along, it's offbeat on the recording because it's like a quarter second from it coming to us and then going back to DCN. So if you sing along still and listen, you're like, God, why am I so offbeat? I thought I could sing downbeat. It's not you, it's them. You'll notice that the beat is
always. That's great. Awesome. That's what I'm gonna use from now on, because before I just assumed it was me because I can't sing, so
It's like when people without perfect pitch sing along to their own songs without the actual song. Like Iggy Pop did that in the documentary about him. He was singing his own song and he was off key because he's not perfect pitch. He's relative pitch.
Yeah, yeah. You know, something I learned about pitch today. I'm good relative pitch too. I'm not perfect pitch, but perfect pitch is actually really rare and it's kind of useless. Like if you have really good relative pitch, you can be an amazing musician. Perfect pitch means someone can say, "Sing a middle C," and you sing it. You sing the note without a reference of an instrument. That's not that useful of a thing, you know.
Well, in this day and age.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I suspect it's useful, but maybe not not important, not required.
People without being a musician and being a professional musician and playing a lot of music and listening to a lot of music and analyzing a lot of music too. So Steve sent me that little thing today. That little melody, it was like, you know, 10 words long. Oh, by the way, I love the thing in the Iggy Pop documentary about one of his influences was the Buffalo Bill show or the Howdy Doody show, because one of the guys in there said, kids, you know, it's a show for like 10, 8-year-olds, 5-year-olds. And he's like, kids, write us letters, but keep them 25 words or less. And Iggy was like, that's brilliant. I'm going to write songs and they're going to be 25 words or less.
It was Soupy Sales. Well, he said there was a bunch of them, but Soupy Sales that specifically had that one.
You know what they did not mention, maybe because it was such a, you know, that movie didn't really cover Iggy's interim period much either. It was just the Stooges, and then like it was just the Stooges really. But at one point when he was solo as Iggy Pop, which has been most of his life, and he's back to that now after this short reunion tour, his backing band, the rhythm section, was Soupy Sales' two sons, the Sales brothers. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
Bass player and drummer, or maybe it's bass player and guitar player, I forget, but half his band, you know, 2/3 of his backing band at one point was Soupy Sales' kids. And those guys also played with David Bowie in that short-lived, not very good band called Tin Machine. Remember that David Bowie thing?
Yeah. Vaguely. Barely, but yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Really good. So let me finish the thing I started, which was saying that the thing I learned about melody today was that the most important notes to get right when you sing a song or a line or a phrase in a song is the first and last note, because Steve's not a bad singer. I mean, that thing he does, Fiend Buttons are the thing, you know, like he can sing on key, but he just whipped this thing off on his phone and sent it to me. And I asked him to redo it and nail the last note, because if notes are off in the middle, things good otherwise, you kind of forgive it. But if it ends on like a, you know, half step down almost from the note it's supposed to be, it leaves you feeling jarring after you've heard it.
Yeah.
So, yep, remember that. And you know who said that too about life? The drummer in The Who, Moon, what's his name? Keith Moon, said that people only remember entrances and exits. And he was a guy who kind of lived life in a really theatrical way too. So, remember that, people. All right. I guess we can talk more about Iggy Pop before we go on to communists getting punched and how funny it is. And, you know, I got to say, like, I railed against people who punch fascists last week. But the thing is, the fascists being punched are not out for physical violence in that situation. The lady that got punched, I saw her naked. She's not a lady. the hairy legged female, the hairy legged XX chromosome. What is it? XY? XX? XX chromosome thing. Wait, did I? You know, it's funny. People were like, you shouldn't hit a girl. And it's like, are you assuming her gender? I mean, come
yeah,
on.
Right.
Yeah.
Can't have both ways, people.
Okay. Tony Sales played bass and Hunt Sales played drums. They are Tony. They're, so he got to play with his heroes, kids.
Kids.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right at all on a couple of levels.
What?
Fiends out of context.
He got to play with his heroes' kids.
Okay, yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Phrasing.
Yeah, this is not stateless for us. This is not Center for a Stateless Society. We don't talk about that stuff here.
Ba-dum-bum.
Speaking of communists who think that property is theft. All right. Mutualism.
Shots fired.
Mutualism. All right, so 25 words left, man. 25 words or less. So Iggy Pop played Vincent Buglioso, Bugliosi meow, in a in an opera about Manson. Remember he said he wanted to play Manson instead of Peter Pan?
Yeah.
Well, he got to play Manson's.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
When the final element is used, it's not good only you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on jeep,
and Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all.
So that noise, it seems to really just entertain Jim Jesus to no end. He started doing it, and it's pretty funny. It actually, you know, it's kind of my satisfied sound. My wife calls it my happy sound. You know, I make it after marital relations, and I make it after a really good meal and good back rub. But
I'm
it
sure
also,
I needed to know that.
Okay. It's also what I started doing after. After my other fiend sound got voted down 5 years ago, because everyone, I used to go blah all the time on the show. I was imitating, you know what I was imitating?
I don't know.
Richard Dean?
The other Dean. Howard Dean? Is that his name?
For Howard Dean.
The senator or congressman who went, and we're going to go to Las Vegas. Blah! And they say that lost him the election, the candidacy, Howard Dean, No relation, but
allegedly.
So I got some real quick stuff before we get to Antifa and how fun it is to watch them get punched. And it's only fun because this girl said, well, it's also fun because they want to use violence against the state. But it's also funny because that girl tweeted, I'm going to the Trump rally. I'm going to bring home 100 Nazi scalps. So she was looking for, or at least joking about looking for violence. So good news for capitalism. Our friend Virgil Viduva, who invented Cell 411, which is an app that replaces police and all sorts of things. Get it. It's free. You know, instead of calling the cops who will come and, you know, like, let's say your kid's suicidal. Instead of calling the cops who often come shoot a suicidal person, you know, call four friends that your son knows immediately with one button, wherever you are, and it'll tell them your GPS and give them directions. It's good for anything. If you're getting, you know, if 30 people are about to beat you up, you hit cell 411 and your friends will come. Anybody that you've pre-programmed. So, or even strangers if you want that. So he got a 30-day ban on Facebook. He was in Facebook jail for 30 days. And it was for, or, you know, he got a ban. And it was for, I think it was for his meme about how funny it was that the girl got punched for being a lefty. For being a mean lefty. So he's a paid advertiser on Facebook. He buys ads on Facebook all the time for cell 411. He wrote them and said, okay, I'm this guy, I'm this, you know, number, like whatever number he uses to, you know, who he is, buying ads. And said, I'm gonna take away my advertising during these 30 days, and they reversed the ban.
Wow.
Nice. You know, also, you know, nice integrity there, Facebook, but but good for
the You violated our community standards. Well, if you're gonna take the money away. Oh, but you've got money.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. Yeah. Yeah, and the contact he used to tell them this was the contact for, do you think we ruled wrongly or whatever? So let's see what else we got. So in talking about the Iggy Pop movie, I said I had no connection to Iggy Pop, but I actually do. There are two, it's a tiny connection, but two of the Stooges are in my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. How did I forget this? Ron Ashton is in it and Mike Watt is in it. Mike Watt was only in it in the reunion because I started to say it earlier, but sidetracked myself. Mike Watt from the Minutemen. So I went to interview Mike Watt for this movie. I knew Mike Watt and I emailed him and said, you know, when are you going to be in San Francisco, which is where I was living? He told me, gave me backstage passes, said, you and a friend can come film me. You know, I'll sit for an interview. No problem. Sounds great. You know, I should actually have him come on The Fiends. I could get him on The Fiends. I might have to pre-tape it, but I'm going to do that, but I'm only going to talk about music, not politics. I learned my lesson with Chris Novoselic. Have you heard that interview, Phil? Chris Novoselic.
Most of it, yeah.
Yeah, where it's, yeah, most of it. Yeah, the first hour is great. He talks about music. And the second hour, he talks about how to fix democracy with representative voting or some crap.
Okay, I didn't get to that.
He's not a commie. Maybe I only heard half. You only heard an hour. He's not a commie. I mean, he backed Ron Paul at one point. You know, he's more libertarian than most commie musicians. Most musicians are commies, literally. Or Democrats, which is soft communism, or Republicans, which is very soft communism. Explain that. So,
or Libertarian Party, which is very, very, very soft communism.
Ultra soft communism. Thank you. During the break, you were like, are you upset because I said something bad about Invictus and the Libertarian Party? I'm like, what? I don't care if you yell at Invictus. And you're like, no, I mean Libertarian Party. And I'm like, I don't care if you yell at the Libertarian Party. They're goofballs. They're statists. And worst of all, they're not libertarian. I mean, they put up, like, the guy that, one of the guys they're running, like, doesn't know, like, says he doesn't believe in the non-aggression principle, you know? And isn't a good candidate. He doesn't know where Aleppo is. And the other guy, you know, what was it, Austin Peterson? Oh, he's so punchable. He should have been at that rally. But he said that, you know,
face even a mother would punch.
He said,
repeatedly.
He said, someone said, so can you tell me clearly whether or not you like the non-aggression principle? And he said, to state clearly, I do not believe in the non-aggression principle.
And that guy supposedly was an ANCAP.
Oh yeah, that's his claim.
He claims.
I was an ANCAP, but I realized the error of my ways.
He just doesn't want to pay taxes and he wants to smoke pot. That's what kind of ANCAP he is. Anarcho-capitalist. That, you know, ANCAPs are good. For those who don't know what we're talking about, anarcho-capitalist. I'm anarcho-capitalist more or less. Are you guys? I don't know. Just say yes or no, or maybe.
I consider myself a voluntarian.
Okay.
Which, right. Anarcho-capitalism is the result of that, so yes.
Ah, okay. Yeah, and you, Jeremy?
Sure, why not?
Why not? I knew you'd say it.
I'm more of an individualist anarchist, but I still, most of the stuff I follow is anarcho-capitalism.
We hate communism. Know. We just hate communism.
I don't hate it. People are silly for trying to do it over and over again through the state. Think it's going to be any better.
I saw a great one recently. It was a meme of like the inside of a well-stocked, beautiful supermarket and said, I don't understand how someone can go into a supermarket and say, I love communism. And it was posted by Virgil Viduva, who until he was a teen, he came to America as a teenager. He grew up in communist Romania and actually was a little kid, was a kid there when they publicly killed their president on TV and ended communism there. He saw that on live TV, man.
The last country to do that. A tradition that really should be brought back.
Yeah. Yep. Not a guarantee.
Yeah, I'm going to get a knock on the door for threatening the life of the president with that one, aren't I?
Go ahead, Phil. I'll find something I should have had ready.
A lot of the most vociferous and loud capitalists are former communists. And I think says something about communism.
Yeah, and a lot of them are from communist countries who lived under, you know, oh, this communism all the Berkeleyites want, which is basically like, you know, you don't always eat. And when you do, it's like generic food and there's one kind of every kind and it has lead in it.
Right.
Literally. Yeah. So wait, here you go. They should bring back hanging presidents to end communism.
Never actually.
Oh, wait. Darn it. All right. We should start bringing back the time-honored tradition of hanging leaders to end communism.
Never actually do this ever.
Allegedly. Is that MK Lords?
That sounded like MK, yes.
She's no longer on the show. Should I keep her on here? Yeah, I'll keep her on here. I'll use her.
She quit? Keeping her on here. She's gone again?
I fired her.
Oh, no.
Because I love firing people.
Oh, that's right. You do.
She's kind of commie, and she hadn't done a show in a long time, and she'd also been writing like articles that were just insane, like insanely feminist in a creepy way, you know, and also just like writing blog posts that were just like, my life is pain, and here's why, and I don't know, I don't think that's Fiend's material. She also, really, the real reason, she never interacts with me, you know, like... She shows up when she can and does a show, but she's not a friend to me. You know, she never likes things of mine on Facebook. I mean, that sounds petty, but Facebook is kind of the place we hang out. And it's like, the Fiends are kind of a, you know, a gang, man. And if you don't come to the gang meetings or at least say hi to the gang leader once in a while, we're not a gang, allegedly, not a gang. Gang actually has a legal. Yeah. Yeah.
Never actually do this.
Wait, that one works for so many things. I'll use someone else here.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
That's Shane. Shane did like one and then had to quit to do something else. Shane could come back, though. I like Shane. He can get rid of his hum. So so I went to interview Mike Watt because he's playing a show at the San Francisco Great American Music Hall. Great place to see a band if you ever go there. I saw Johnny Cash there, too. But he was in his band that night. He plays with all different people. Like, you go see Mike Watt, you don't know who's playing with him. And I went to see Mike Watt, billed as Mike Watt, and Ron Ashton from the Stooges was playing guitar. And also playing guitar was Jay Maskus from Dinosaur Jr. And playing saxophone was Andy Kay from the Stooges and from Roxy Music. And... who else was there? Let's see. So I got a threefer. You know, I was like, I interviewed Mike Watt and I'm like, hey, Ron Ashton, I'm making this movie. You want to be in it? And he's like, I'd love to be in your movie. Never met me. Just like, sure. Really, really gracious, gregarious guy. You know, gregarious guy. And he told charming stories too about how like the show Davy Crockett had influenced him. So I guess like, you know, early 60s, late 50s, early 60s TV show created punk rock. In some way.
Wow.
And then we did
James not interview. See that one coming.
And we interviewed Jay Maskus, but he was so quiet. Like, we had to boost him like 500% to hear him. He's always really high. And he's like, well, yeah, basically, you know, Kurt Cobain was imitating my guitar style. And he's admitted that. And I'm fine with it. I don't care. I like my station in life. That's the imitation of him. He never actually said that, but it's true. I mean, Kurt Cobain was trying. His guitar solos sound just like Jay Maskus, and he's a huge Dinosaur Jr. fan. But all right, what else we got? Mm. Provocateur. Oh, I was supposed to come back to this segment and just say the word prosecutor. Because I didn't get it in the last segment. I was trying to say that Iggy Pop was in an opera where he played Vincent Bugliosi. He said in the movie, when they told him they wanted him to play Pete, when David Bowie's manager said, "You're going to play Peter Pan in my play on Broadway," and he said, "I don't want to play Pete." You know, he hated the guy, and he was like wanting to get out of the contract. And he said that he wanted to play Charles Manson instead of Peter Pan. And the guy left and ran away as Iggy Pop. You know, he loves quit firing people, but he always likes driving them to quit and fire him. Apparently, which is good because it was a weird situation. But so later he was in a play where he played Vincent Bugliosi, who was the prosecutor who, you know, for the state, who put Manson into prison. We got to talk about the guy and Antifa, but we got to talk about Antifa. Let's talk about the guy who shot a guy on the street in video. Yeah.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT NoGov merchandise. The BIPCOT NoGovernment license is licensed under the BIPCOT NoGovernment license, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT NoGovernment merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends. Be the coolest kid at FiendFest Somalia. Laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPstrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
Say that, like 25 words or less. I think I've heard it as a description of an elevator pitch, you know, like a pitch where you're trying to, if you have an idea you're trying to sell, you should be able to do an elevator pitch, which is, you know, like if you're in an elevator with the guy with all the money and you want to tell him the idea in like, what is it, five floors of an
30 to 60 seconds, something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
And I would say that's about 25 words. Maybe the elevator pitch but
yeah, you could fit more than that.
But I've heard people say, "Tell me in 25 words or less," and I never knew where the saying came from. So, yep. But I want to give a shout out to Luke Radowski, who filmed the video of the violence and clashes of the street riots
in Berkeley.
The only good footage he shot, and he's kind of a goofball, but I salute him for, and he's never met a conspiracy theory he doesn't like.
And he's been doing this for a long time, well over a decade at this point.
Yeah, so I got even props for actually like going down there with a gas mask and risking getting beat up to walk among them and film all this. The film of the girl getting punched in the face is his footage. But there's like 20 minutes of it.
Yeah.
Of that. Yeah.
There was a little bit of good overhead chopper footage where when Antifa threw the smoke grenades into the wind and it all flushed back into their faces. They all started running away.
Make them? You can't buy them, can you? You probably make them.
I assume. I'm not sure, but I know you can make them.
It tells in Steal This Book how to make them. That's why I know how to make them. Which is a commie book that's got a bad motive, but there's useful information in it. Not just that, but, you know, strategy things in general and kind of like life hacking kind of stuff. Like the first time I ever heard about phone freaking was from that book. And I read it in 75.
I don't know what that is.
75 when I was 11. And I literally stole that book from someone who had stolen that book because it said, "Steal this book." And I didn't like to steal, but it said, "Steal this book." So I did.
So you're a conformist.
If you insist.
Yeah, I'm a conformist in my anarchy.
You're doing what you're told.
Yeah, I'm a good anarchist.
Phone freaking is the when you fake the noise that goes over the line, right?
Used to work like in the 70s, 60s. It doesn't work anymore. Yeah. It was actually, that's how Apple computers started. A lot of people know this story, but it's worth repeating, is that Jobs, Steve Jobs, was making little blue boxes that he was selling to, you know, you'd go into a payphone, which we'd have to even explain what that is, but not for radio listeners. You'd go into a payphone, you'd hold it up to the payphone, make a long distance call, and then you'd press this button and it would make the tones that tell the phone company to like complete it. And Steve Jobs said that the idea that he could make something with a soldering iron that would like control this $1 billion worldwide system really inspired him as like, I can do this, to help start Apple Computer. And it helped finance Apple Computer when they first started with selling those black boxes. But anyway, so Antifa, talk about these people. Is it, people say Antifa, I say it Antifa. I think it sounds cuter. And there really should be like action figures of Antifa that you can punch, because they're so dreadlocked and cute and fluffy and young, and they all live in, here's the thing about Berkeley, is like, I lived in Berkeley for 6 months when I first moved to California before I moved to San Francisco, and you cannot live in Berkeley without being a leftist. I mean, it's almost true. You almost have to like raise your hand and pledge to Che Guevara to renew your driver's license there. That's an exaggeration, but first of all, it's such an expensive city to live in that you're either homeless or you're part of the university system. You're the kids of a professor, or the grandkids, or your parent, or you are a professor, or you're a student there. And it's one of the, it is a very, very socialist school. And it was one of the first schools that was, it's really kind of sad because it was the one of the first schools where, it's where the free speech movement began in the 60s. Like someone, there's a definite moment when it said to have began. It was like Mark Rudd, I think it was, stood up on someone's Volkswagen with a bullhorn and started making demands. And That was the free speech movement being as it is known now, being created in modern America. And you know, these are the same, this is the great grandkids of these people, the grandkids of these people are the same people who are like throwing rocks at people for having a free speech rally. It's sad. Yep. Really quick, you guys got the last 50 seconds, go. I'll allocate that. 25 words left.
Okay. Antifa. Antifa covered punching bag. New marketing idea.
Nice. Just got that chick's face on it.
Right.
And then they pulled you can't hit a girl, after this girl went looking for violence and then got punched. She didn't get beat up either. She just got punched. One good.
Call it equal rights, dude.
Short, sharp shock. Are you assuming her gender? It's equal rights.
Exactly.
How do you have equal rights if you can't assume someone's gender?
Worms.
Oh, they're all equal.